this year, 2020, will undoubtedly go down in the world as one of the most challenging years. With the COVID pandemic, we have suffered not only sickness and loss really throughout the world, some people even departing this life, even though we've been blessed as a parish to be preserved and to have been protected from this, but that accompanying financial strain for those that may have lost a source of income during the pandemic, the social isolation that we continue to suffer, and the effect it's had in our parish life. There are many things that we may potentially be distressed about and anxious about. And then looking at the civil unrest that's taking place and the political polarization of our country and leading up to a very important election. And there's much in this year that could mark it as a year of great trepidation and fear and distress. But the gospel and the Lord himself, who embodies the gospel, has said something to us, has said something in our gospel lesson this morning that is a word for each of us who may be somewhat fearful or anxious or have trepidation about the present or the future. And that word simply is this: be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. The Greek word that is used for this is more accurately translated, take courage. Be of good courage. Be bold. Be confident and knowing that God has it all under control. And the context for this proclamation in this morning's gospel from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 9th chapter, is in reference to a great show of faith by these men who sought Jesus. And it, beginning in verse 1, St. Matthew indicates that Jesus got into a boat, and this is following his casting out demons from two demon-possessed men over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus has crossed back over following this exorcism of these two men, he is met at his own city, presumably Nazareth or possibly his home base in Capernaum. But regardless, he's met by these men who are carrying this paralytic, a man of the palsy. Palsy is what the King James says. But palsy was indicated a condition whereby a person was paralyzed, either as a result of perhaps a spinal injury or some other cerebral situation in which they were physically unable to walk, sometimes being accompanied by tremors and maybe even the inability to be able to speak. But these men brought him, their friend, carrying him on this pallet, this bed, to seek a healing. And Jesus was moved by not the faith of the man who was a paralytic, but rather the men who had brought their friend to Jesus. And he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Now, this may have created a little bit of confusion and misunderstanding by their friends. You know, we didn't bring him here for you to absolve his sins, to say that his sins are forgiven. We don't even know that his sins have anything to do with his condition. But Jesus addressed the most apparent need. As the discerner of hearts, and understanding that humanity's greatest need whether it be for that paralytic lying in front of him, or whether it be for you or me today. Our greatest need is in the redemption and the healing of our souls, in our sin-sick souls, by which the demonic forces of darkness wage their war through our own disordered passions that war against the soul. So Jesus is meeting the most immediate need and saying, your sins are forgiven you. You know, this very approach reflects our living out the gospel. Even within the liturgy, as the priest, the celebrant, and the sacred ministers approach the altar on behalf of all the people, we don't pray at the foot of the altar saying, Lord, heal my bad knees and my bad ankle. Lord, heal my brother who may have cancer or whatever these physical maladies are. We come here as people who are, yes, sometimes physically broken and in need of physical healing. But we are asking the Lord to address the most present need. Lord, heal us. Deliver us from our sins. Bring absolution and forgiveness and cleanliness of soul and health of soul that only you can bring. Because it is in the purity of heart and soul whereby we may even approach God. But in declaring this man's sins forgiven, the scribes who are there and hearing this know that only God, Yahweh, has the ability to forgive. And so they're scandalized in their hearts. And in their hearts they said, this man blasphemes, and begins to stir up that anger against Jesus that would ultimately result in his unjust death, trial and charges and crucifixion and death. But Jesus, being the discerner of hearts and demonstrating to them in a very particular way that he is divine, that he is God, asked them, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And in verse 7, St. Matthew records, and he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. You see, when we approach the Eucharist, when we receive the Antiduron bread, we are asking for healing of body and soul. You see, we are souls with bodies. But yes, we know that our bodies will begin to break down, particularly with age. We know that we will have injuries. We know that we will suffer diseases. But in approaching Christ, it's the package deal, healing of body and soul. That's not to say that God, in his providence and for other reasons, will not allow us to continue to suffer various maladies and sicknesses. But everything is unto the healing of our soul. Being released from the spiritual darkness within our hearts, encountering that divine healing presence of Christ with just a word, arise, take up your bed, and go home. You see, the church fathers, in dividing this passage of scripture, has said that the other aspect of this is that it is through Christ by which our way back home has been opened, our way back to the new Eden, back to paradise, in communion with God, becoming partakers of His divine nature. But in this we see the gospel mobilized in a way whereby the faith of friends, the faith of friends in walking and caring and interceding on behalf of the sick friend, was able to be an instrument of healing and grace. And then the man himself, healed in body and soul, able to pick up his bed and to demonstrate through his feet the power of our God in making the cripple and the lame to walk again. This is a picture for us, a picture of the spiritual warfare that has been happening since at the beginning of time, and the fall of the demonic beings from heaven, the angelic beings which fell with Lucifer and are warring against humanity, the sons of God, and trying to bring us to destruction and trying to bring us to judgment. But the good news of the gospel is that our Lord desires, through faith, through our faith, through the faith of others even, to be able to deliver us from the bondage of our own spiritual maladies, of being crippled and lame in our own spirit, being paralyzed by fear and anxiety and trepidation by the things that and the tribulations that have gone on. But the word continues to come back to us through the gospel. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I want to remind you of what Jesus said in John chapter 16. It's a verse that's used at your confirmation, at your chrismation. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. You may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be bold, knowing, Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." The world that was held in captivity and darkness. And in the throes of these demons and the devil himself, Christ has defeated. And this is the gospel, to be of good cheer. Today is the feast of Saint Kenneth, the Irish abbot who was called along with Saint Columba in 443. In 443, Saint Columba and Saint Kenneth together entered the abbey at Clonard, where they began to study under Saint Finian, who was the teacher of the 12 apostles to Ireland. And after their period of instruction, Saint Columba and Saint Kenneth both remained close friends, and they both had an evangelistic zeal to take the good news of the gospel to the Pictish people. These were the people both of Scotland and in an interior part of Ireland. St. Patrick, we know, had preceded the work of St. Columba and St. Kenneth, but it was mostly the Celtic people outside of the Picts that had converted to Christianity. The Picts continued to be a group of people, a warmongering people, whom the Roman army wouldn't even continue to fight, resulting in Hadrian putting up his wall and just walling these ruthless people off. But St. Columba and St. Kenneth both had a heart to bring the gospel to these war-hardened men and women. And so in going to Scotland, near what is now Inverness, modern Inverness, they are met by the great high king of the Picts, the Pictish king, MacMahon. And MacMahon began to threaten Kenneth, threatened to take his life for even having the audacity to enter his kingdom without permission and to be bringing talk of this strange God to him. And as he threatened him, St. Kenneth simply made the sign of the cross, and the king immediately became paralyzed. You see, in making the sign of the cross, he's doing just the opposite of what Jesus did, in a sense, in the body. He's taking a man who can walk, a man who is a warlord, and paralyzing him. Why? In order to bring the power of the gospel, the peace of the gospel, to the heart of this hardened man, this man in spiritual bondage. And it was as a result of that act, not only was he delivered of his paralysis, but he was open to hearing the gospel of peace. St. Columba and St. Kenneth then helping to evangelize, becoming apostles to the Scottish people and to the interior of Ireland, where St. Kenneth established a monastery and a cathedral church, the city today being named Kilkenny, meaning Church of Kenneth. You see, with just a handful of people like St. Patrick and St. Columba and St. Kenneth, through God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there is the ability to not only change a few around us, but to be able to bring conversion and deliverance to even whole nations of people. This is our call, to be the foot soldiers of the gospel of peace, to go into a world that is held in the sway of sin and spiritual darkness, and to proclaim the good news of peace. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for in Christ you are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.